ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My dear brothers and sisters, of the many things that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned his companions about, of the many things that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum warned their companions about, and all the awliya, all the friends of Allah, the muhaddithin, the mufassirin, all the ulama have always warned their companions and themselves have always taken heed about, is the dunya, this world that we live in. But the world that we live in, my dear brothers, appears to us to be a reality. Everything we see around us appears to be real. And as a result of that, we are always tempted and we always believe that we need to get more of this. This is how the world appears to us. But my dear brothers and sisters, this world that we live in is really just a dream. And when we wake up in the hereafter, we would realize the dream. Fortunate are those who could realize the dream that they are living in right here in this world and abstain and stay away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that person who makes the akhirah his objective, the purpose of his life is the akhirah, and he works towards that, then Allah Azza wa Jal rounds up all his work in this world. All the work that he has to do in this world, all that he has to achieve and get in this world, it is made easy for him. All his objectives become manageable. All of it becomes very easy. Everything becomes easy for him. And his heart is filled with independence. His heart is filled with independence. The world is placed in a disgraceful manner. The world comes bowing to him. The wealth, the greenery that we see around us, the greenback, the dollars and cents, the bonds, land, and all these things that we see around us, that comes stooping to his feet. In other words, it is despicable to him. He could kick it away if he wants. It is of no value to him. And as for that person who makes his objective this world, his whole aim is to achieve the material things of this world, then his work has become scattered for him. Allah Azza wa Jal now makes it very scattered for him. And poverty is always worried about poverty and becoming poor. And the only thing that he would be able to get is what is written down for him. He's not going to get any more. So his heart is not contented. He has to work harder to get what is already apportioned to him. He now has to go here, there, and everywhere, hold on to 2 and 3 and 4 jobs in order to get the same dunya that he could have gotten so very easily. That is already written down for him. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and came in the presence of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's back had marks on it, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down on a straw mat, and as a result of lying down on this straw mat, the back of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was marked. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala began to cry. Uncontrollably, he began to cry. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "O Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, what is the reason for your crying? Why are you crying?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala remarked that the enemies of Allah, the Kisras and the Khazros, the rulers of Persia and the rulers of Rome, they are living in the lap of luxury. and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the best of all creation, has marks of straw on his back? What is this? What is this? The best of all creation, whose every doer, anything that he would ask for, it would be granted to him. Anything that he wanted could be granted to him. The Quraysh wanted to give him any amount of wealth that he wants, any amount of dinars and dirhams, golds and silver, any amount of the most beautiful woman that he wanted. It was at his disposal, only to stop the preaching of the deen. So anything materialistic that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted, he could have attained. There were kings and rulers that were sending by the camel loads of gold and silver and wealth and foodstuff for the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not sleep. He would not go home until it has all been distributed. That was his condition. So, O Umar radiallahu ta'ala, are you worried? Are you worried about the wealth of this world and the luxuries of this world, O Umar radiallahu ta'ala? And luxury, my dear brothers and sisters, has no limit. Luxury has no limit. Right? You sleeping on a straw mat and you feel that a sponge is better. And you're sleeping on a sponge and then you feel a 4-inch foam is better. And after that, you feel that if you get something that is a little more rigid and harder, it is better. And then you're looking for a spring-filled mattress. And then you're looking for a Posturepedic. And it goes on. And it goes on. But where is the comfort? Where does it finish? Right? What is the level that we are going to take it? Luxury. How far are we going to take it? We're sleeping and you have a window open, you're getting fresh breeze. And then you could do better than that and you want to put a fan. And then you could do better than that and you want to put an air conditioned unit. And then you could do better than that and you want to put a split unit. You don't want a window unit. And then the 12,000 BTU becomes too small. You want to put an 18,000 BTU. What is the limit? How far do we go? Where do we end? Where is the comfort? Where is the luxury? When will we finish? When will we finish? Where do we end? Where do we end? How far do we go? How far do we take it? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an that these people, these kings of Rome and Persia, they have been given all the pleasures of this world, whilst all the pleasures of Jannah has been stored up for us. Muslim has not been created for the pleasures of this world. We have not been created for that. We have never been created for that. The Muslim has to undergo trials and tribulation as far as his deen is concerned. I'm not talking about dunyawi trials and tribulation. Nowadays we feel that we have to work a little harder, that this is trials and tribulation. No. This is not the trials and tribulations we are talking about. Because whatever we have to get in this world, my dear brothers and sisters, we would not be able to leave this earth. We cannot die. We cannot die. We cannot go to the grave unless we consume everything that has been written down for us. To the last grain of rice, to the last sip of water, to the last breath of air. We cannot die until what has been written for us has been utilized by us. We cannot die. So nobody dies, you know, like people normally say, an untimely death. There's no untimely death. Death is when you use up your sustenance. That is when death comes. It is for us to prepare ourselves that using up of the sustenance finds us at a time when Allah is most pleased with us. On a day when we do our best amals and our best action, we have prayed. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to pray like that. That may our last day and our last breath be in such a state that we are doing an action that is most pleased by Allah azza wa jal. That is why the pious men of the past always prayed and they never like to die on their beds. They always wish to die in the path of Allah, being out there, spreading the deen, doing the work of Allah. They always wish to die in that position. Or in a tahajjud position, you're in salah, you're in sijda, in a position that is pleasing to Allah azza wa jal. They pray for that. And we have to pray for that as well. So our sustenance that we spend so much of time behind trying to get, that has already been written down for us. So that is why the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar, you don't have to worry about that. a little straw marks in the back and all that kind of thing. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Right? The Jannah, the pleasures have been all gathered for us in the Jannah. And that is where we are going to reap it. If only anyone would understand the reality of this, that our pleasure really is in the Jannah, then poverty and strained conditions would become a luxury. The little poverty that we go through, the little strained conditions that we go through, the little tests and trial that we go through in this world, that would become a luxury for us. When we would be able to accept the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, that this is what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for us. Any condition that befalls us, any condition that befalls the Muslim, whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it be health, whether it be sickness, whether it be wealth, whether it be poverty, he must be pleased with that condition. I am pleased with what Allah has allotted for me, be it health, be it sickness, whatever it be, I must be pleased with this condition. That is how the Muslim must think at all times. Must always be pleased with the condition that Allah Azza wa Jal has him in. Whether that condition came about because of his own evil deeds. Because of his own evil deeds. A man might be ill-treating his wife. Right? He's doing something wrong. He realizes afterwards. But by that time it is too late. He already lost his wife. He has to be pleased with that condition. You don't have to be displeased with somebody else. You do not become displeased with the court. You're ill-treating your children, and the social services come and take away your children because you are not treating them properly. You have to be pleased. You did not take care of your health and you became ill and you have diabetes or something, and you're, Alhamdulillah, I am pleased because I could have only gotten this with the permission of Allah. And be pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal under all condition that you are suffering migraine and sinus for whatever reason. You are suffering with migraine and sinus, Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal, it is only with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal that I am in this condition. We do not understand the rewards that Allah Azza wa Jal has in store for us in the Jannah. What are these rewards that are in store for us? Such rewards that the eyes have not seen. Such rewards and beauty that the ears have never even heard about it. Such rewards and such pleasures that the heart can't even conceive it. The heart cannot even conceive it. But yet still, my dear brothers, what we see? We see the wealth around us. We see the nice houses and cars. And we aspire to attain and want to and want bigger and better and more that we could do and more that we could do. Until it reaches a stage sometimes in a man's life, you say, but what is all of this thing for, boys? But that is after he have already gone through the whole stage. He realizes, but wealth is really nothing, you know. Right? By that time, he has already reached 50, 60, 70 years. And then he realizes, but you know, wealth is really nothing. Because he had already lived his entire life dependent on it. And that time he could confess and say, but this really mean nothing to me, you know. All of this really mean nothing to me. But when the vigor of our youth is with us, we would work, turn night into day in order to amass our wealth. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he had two fears for his people. Two things that he worried about. One is that an increase in their hopes and desires, that people were now being exposed to the dunya and the wealth of the world. So he was worried that this is becoming more and more in people. People seem to be more inclined to the world. And the second thing that he was worried about was the fulfilling of these desires. One is a person could have a desire for something, but when he actually fulfills that desire and that passion, then it puts it into a different category. Increase in hopes makes one forget the akhirah. And following of desires are the means of deviation from the straight path. The world is behind you and the akhirah is ahead. Today man is capable of action and no reckoning, whereas tomorrow in the akhirah there will be reckoning and no action. Whatever you can do, do it today, for tomorrow you will not be able to do anything. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tastari, rahmatullah alayh, he used to spend excessively in the path of Allah. Excessively he used to spend in the path of Allah. So his mother and close relatives, like is normal, they went and they complained to Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala an, rahmatullah alayhi. And they said, better you go and speak to Sahal, you know. Because the way he's spending money, in a few days' time, he ain't go nothing. Right, he real spending. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak spoke to Hazrat Sahal, who replied. He said, Hazrat, if somebody wishes to travel from Makkah to, say, Syria, Yemen, different country, he wants to migrate, and he's not coming back. As a matter of fact, he already purchased property and all of that there. Do you think that he should leave back some of his property in Medina, or do you think he should carry all? So Hazrat told him, he said, no, you should carry all. There's no need. He's not coming back. So if you're going and you already purchased and you're going to build a house there and all that, take all your property with you. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala replied, he said, most certainly he should take along all his belongings. Hazrat Sahal rahmatullah alayhi then said, what then can be said of a person who is leaving this world shortly and making the journey to the Akhirah? He's leaving this world and he's traveling, he's migrating to the hereafter. Already bought a piece of property, already has a house and all of that waiting there for him. Think you should leave back anything in this world? Should send everything forward. He who spends his wealth on the temporary and transitory pleasures of this world will only have regret and remorse. He who spends his wealth on the temporary and transitory pleasures of this world will only have regret and remorse, whereas the wealth spent in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala will be a means of honor, triumph, and success in the hereafter. An intelligent person is he who is satisfied with just the basic necessities of this world, and he does not waste his valuable life on earth in pursuing the debased pleasures of the world. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, and he explains, he said, I was in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam when a person came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Very beautiful person. Oh, his clothes was extremely white. His hair well groomed. After giving salams, he said, O Rasulullah, explain the reality of the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, this world is the likeness of a dream of one who is sleeping. This world is like the likeness of a dream of a person who is sleeping. The person then asked regarding the reality of the Akhirah, whereupon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the Akhirah is everlasting. One group will enter Jannah and the other will enter Jahannam. The questioner asked, what is Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is the recompense and the reward for the good actions carried out in this world. This is for those who have sacrificed at the expense of the world. He then asked regarding Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the recompense for the evil actions executed in this world, the evil deeds that we have done in this world. The questioner then asked, who is the best group amongst the ummah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, those who obey Allah Ta'ala in this world, they are the best. He then asked, fine, tell me, how is a person supposed to spend his life? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, he should spend his life like a person who is seeking a caravan, and he is always alert in trying to attain his objective. He asked, how long is the stay in this world? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is as long as the one who remains behind the moving caravan. That is, it is extremely short. He asked, what is the distance between the world and the Akhirah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the blinking of an eyelid. After asking these questions, the person went away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the questioner was Jibril alayhi salam, who came to explain the reality of the world and the akhirah, so that you may detach yourself from the world and strive for the akhirah. Strange is that person who believes in the akhirah, and yet all his effort and endeavors and his striving is for this world. He believes in the akhirah and says he believes in the akhirah, and yet still everything that he is doing is just for this world. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked, on what basis did you become the friend of Allah Ta'ala? On what basis did you become the friend of Allah Ta'ala? As you know, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was known as Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. He replied, three things. On the basis of three things, I became the friend of Allah. The first, whenever I was faced with two possibilities, I would always opt for that in which lay the pleasure of Allah. Whenever I had two possibilities in front of me, I always choose the one in which the pleasure of Allah lied. The second, regarding my sustenance, which Allah Ta'ala had promised, I never made any preparations or arrangements for it. Allah Azza wa Jal promised that, I didn't bother about that. He made the arrangements and the preparations. And thirdly, I never sat down to partake of any meal without a guest. I never sat down and partake of any meal without a guest. The statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an mentioned, that person who has acquired for himself six qualities have effectively made a complete effort for entry into Jannah and has saved himself for the Jahannam. A person who has acquired for himself six qualities have made a concerted effort for entry into Jannah and to save himself from Jahannam. One, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala and occupying himself in being obedient to Allah. To recognize Allah and live in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Two, the recognition of shaitan and making active efforts to oppose him. Recognizing Allah and living in the obedience of Allah. Recognizing shaitan and making every effort to oppose him. Three, recognizing what is haq and what is the truth and following it. Four, recognizing what is batil and false and staying aloof from it, staying away from it. Five, recognition of the world and abstaining from it. And six, concern for the akhirah and pursuing it. My dear brothers and sisters, this world that we live in is really a mirage that we see in front of us. We know what a mirage is. You're going down the highway on a hot day and you feel like you see water on the road. That is what is known as a mirage. When a person is traveling in the desert, right, you see mirages all the time. You feel that you are seeing something which your mind is telling you that this is present, and in reality it is not there. This is what the world is like. And the world has the ability to destroy the human being. There's a story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam was traveling once, and a person came to him and said, "O Prophet of Allah, let me travel with you." Prophet Isa alayhi salam agreed. And the person started following him. Anyway, Prophet Isa alayhi salam walked, the person walked with him. So they came to a river and they decided, let us stop, sit down, find a comfortable place, rest a little while. So they sat down and they had a little meal. They took out whatever they had, three pieces of bread that they had, and they spread it in front of them. Prophet Isa alayhi salam ate a piece. The person ate a piece and there was one piece remaining. Prophet Isa alayhi salam then went to the river to drink some water. And when he turned his back and he was drinking the water, The person ate the third piece of bread. Quickly he ate the third piece of bread. Prophet Isa alayhi salam returned, and when he returned, he saw the bread missing. He asked, "Where is the bread?" The person said, "I don't know." He didn't ask no more question. Leave it as that. You don't know? No problem. They continued on their journey. They continued on their journey. But Prophet Isa alayhi salam was a person of miracles. Allah had blessed him with that. He healed those people who the doctors could not heal. The person who was blind could be given sight again. The dead could have been brought back to life. Bi-iznillah, with the permission of Allah. He once made a bird of clay and he blew life into it and it flew away. So he wanted to demonstrate this to the man. So there was a deer, a mother deer with two young ones, not very far away. Prophet Isa alayhi salam called the young deer. The young deer came and it lie down in front of him. He slaughtered it and he cooked it. Lit a fire and he cooked it. They sat down and they had their meal. They enjoyed their meal. Sat down and enjoyed their meal. So when they were comfortable and all that, Isa alayhi salam asked him, "Who eat the third piece of bread?" The third piece of bread, where it gone? Watch with an innocent look. He said, "Me, I know nothing about that. I ain't know where that bread gone." No problem, they're going again, traveling again, until they came to the jungle. When they came to the jungle, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, night time, time to sleep and all that, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he made a little heap of sand, and he prayed to Allah, "Oh Allah, turn this into gold," and it was turned into gold. So he then went about dividing the gold into three portions. He said, "One portion for me, one portion for you, and one portion for the person who take the third piece of bread." Well, you know the story. You know it's really me who eat the third piece of bread, you know. I really didn't want to eat the third piece of bread. So Prophet Isa alayhi salam left him with all the gold. He left him with all, he said, "Take all the gold. Take all the gold." And he walked on, he moved on alone, traveling, went with his other companions traveling. So this man now left with all of this gold, and he's in the jungle. Lo and behold, two persons came along and they saw him with all this gold. So two men could overpower one man. So they say, "Watch man, let me lick you up and take all this gold." So he started to plead with them. They sat a little scuffle. He said, no, he said, "No need to fight and all that. I sharing this with all you. Right? I sharing this gold with all you. No need to fight." So the men agreed. They say, "Okay, well, you know, we don't have to kill nobody and we could share the gold. We go get some. So they sat down. He sent one of the men, he told them, he says, "Go to the village and get some food because it's nighttime, everybody hungry. Go and get some food. Go to the marketplace and buy some food." Person went off to buy the food. And then the thought come to him. He said, "But wait now. I don't really have to share this gold with two of them. If I poison this food, then all the gold is mine." So he bought the food and he poisoned the food. And he making his way back to meet his two companions. The two of them on this side, on the other hand, thinking, "Why we had to share this into three parts for? We could share this into two parts. And as soon as he come back, we go kill him." So he came back with the food. And as soon as he came back, they pounce on him, they kill him. They share the gold into two parts. Everybody happy, they hungry, so they take the food and they eat it. As they eat the food, they're dead. Three dead men, three portions of gold, all lying there on the ground. Prophet Isa alayhi salam returning with his companions. And they are amazed. See three dead men and they see all of this gold. What happened here? They couldn't understand that. He explained to them. He said, that is the dunya. Stay far from it. That you are seeing there is the dunya. Stay far from it because you can end up just like them. My dear brothers and sisters, the wealth that we see before us, we behave in the same manner. We as Muslims behave in the same manner. Let us forget about the disbelievers. We as Muslims behave in the same manner. And the reason that I say that, my dear brothers and sisters, because it is very difficult today to find any two Muslims coming in a business partnership. Think about it. Whether you are brothers, whether you are cousins, whether you are strangers, try to put two Muslims together in a business partnership and see what happens. The greed for the wealth of this world always takes precedence. This is what I could do in order to outsmart, to get a bigger share, to get a bigger profit. I could do this, I could do the next. And it is very, very difficult to put two Muslims together to do any business, my dear brother. They always feel that that one is getting the lion's share. That one is doing something to cheat me of some property. This one is doing something to cheat me of some property. And that is the dunya, my dear brothers and sisters. We work for it. It is sunk into our hearts. But the love for the dunya and the love for Allah Azawajal cannot remain in the same heart. Always remember that. The love for the dunya and the love for Allah cannot remain in the same heart. Only one could exist. So we have to ensure that we have the correct one in our heart. May Allah Azawajal forgive us and remove the wealth, the love for this wealth of this world from our hearts, and fill our hearts with the love for Allah Azawajal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.